This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Robbins & Company Structural Moving and Foundation Repair. We've got a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
The Seattle Police Officers Guild and the City of Seattle have reached a tentative agreement on a new contract that, if passed, would make Seattle police officers the highest earning law enforcement officers in the state of Washington. The Jason Rand Show, right here on KTTH, we have a copy of the summary of contract changes that was presented to SPOG members at one of the meetings yesterday. We broke this story first. We're the only ones who have all of this information as of yet. As it stands now, Seattle is ranked number 4 in Washington for top step wages. Top step, that reflects how long an officer has worked on the force. If this contract were to pass, and by all indication early on, it will. It has the support of the members who have come to these meetings, or at least the mood has been good, and everyone has had, that we've heard from, a favorable reaction to this. If it passes, SPD officers will land at the top of the list, followed by officers with the Port of Seattle, Tacoma, and Renton. This would equal, on average, across the board, an increase of about $1,000 in pay per month, which obviously means $12,000 additional dollars as their paycheck every single year. This is huge. On top of that, I can tell you exclusively that the Seattle Police Officers Guild would agree to drop some of their unfair labor practice claims, including some of which involve the use of body cameras. Because you'll recall, and we did this story about a year and a half ago, police officers alleged that they were forced to violate their current contract and state law by wearing body cameras. Because if you're forcing them to do that, you were supposed to give them a new contract or at least an update to their contract, which the city did not. According to these presentation notes that I've got in front of me, officers will get a 2% retroactive pay bump or pay that they're owed back from January 2nd, 2018 for, quote, all units required to wear these body cameras. Now, that's not the only change here. We also learned that the Laudermill hearing, this is the due process hearing. This allows officers accused of misconduct a place to explain their side of the allegations to the chief of police, in this case, Carmen Best, who will be here live in studio at 8:15 this morning. They also get an update. According to the summary, among the changes, they say a hearing has to be scheduled 30 days after the complaint is provided to the union, so any complaint against an officer. And then after that hearing takes place, the chief is supposed to make a good faith effort to render a decision within 10 days of that original hearing. Because some concern has been, it takes a long time for the Laudermill hearing to actually take place, and then sometimes it takes a little bit too long for the chief of police, in this case not Carmen Best, because she's only had a very few, if many at all, but it's sometimes taken a little bit too long for a decision to be rendered. And if you're a police officer who is under this kind of scrutiny, you know, at some point you're saying to yourself, let's actually deliver to me some sort of resolution. Another big piece of this, and by the way, you can read all about it at ktth.com. According to this presentation, there's an agreement regarding the standard of proof in labor arbitrations, including an elevated standard of review for termination cases. So it makes it a little bit harder to terminate a police officer. This is obviously something that unions want. I think this is one of those things, case by case. Should it be hard to fire a bad officer? No. Should it be hard to railroad a good officer? Absolutely. So all the details, which are exclusive to us, you can find right now at ktth.com. I implore you to go there now, check out the story, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Jason Rand Show, share the story, click on the story, send it to your friends and family. Because what I think is important is us to show our support to these cops. They're going to have the support, in this case, of the chief and the mayor. I have no doubt about that. But the council, that's another story. They may not have the support. I shouldn't even say may. They will not have the support of all Seattle City Council members. We know that. Shama Sawan is likely to make a big stink. We know that. And so now is the time to make sure that our voices are louder than the very few loud voices on the side of Shama Sawant. She's got a few people on her side who are really loud. We've got a ton of people on our side who aren't very loud. So let's get loud. KTTH.com. Click on the story. Seattle cops would be the highest paid in the state. And then I want you to share that story. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
So a mosquito sample from the wetlands near the port of Tacoma tested positive for the West Nile virus. I don't know if you saw this, Producer Darren. This according to the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department. They made this announcement a couple days ago. And so, naturally, I fear we're all going to die. Like, that's where I go immediately. You tell me there's an outbreak of anything, and I think we're all going to get it, and we are all going to die. You first, because you can't kill the host first, but the host ends up dying at the end of it.
Do mosquitoes work that way? Mm-hmm. They discriminate?
Yeah, they go out. I mean, they know the
check your employment and what level you are.
Your social justice argument is with the mosquitoes and not with Jason. So let's just get that straight.
Your resume. See if you're worth biting.
You're getting mad at me. I have no say in who the mosquitoes choose to discriminate against. I'm still going to die in the end.
Only 6 years with the company. Maybe I'll move on and bite someone else.
No. Going after you. They're coming after you first. Now, to be fair, we should not really be freaked out by this. We are. I am, at least. But we shouldn't be. Only 231 people nationwide have gotten the virus this year. 8 of them have died. 8 tragic ends to this. But 8 out of the hundreds of millions of people who live here, you know, statistically is obviously very small. Edie Jeffers works for the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department, and she told Q13, and this doesn't make me feel any better, to assume the worst if you're bitten.
Go ahead and assume that a mosquito can be infected.
That's not going to calm me down, because I've got 2 bug bites on my leg again from what I think are mosquitoes. So now I'm supposed to assume that I got bitten by a mosquito with the West Nile virus, even though I'm in Seattle. Did it come on up from Tacoma?
And take those precautionary steps. We just need to think differently about mosquito bites now. Where they might have just been an irritant. We want to do everything we can to really avoid them.
Does she tell us what we're supposed to do after we assume the worst, other than pray to God that we don't die? What are we supposed to do? I'm supposed to go to my doctor's office yet again so they can laugh at me and call me a hypochondriac. Say, I think I got the West Nile virus. Do you have any symptoms? No.
What was the other ones that was just around? Didn't we just have like an Ebola or something?
No, there was another West Nile
story. It was a different West
Nile? Yeah, it was on the east side of the state.
Oh.
Now, here's the other thing, because she tells me to treat it as if it's the worst. I was in a meeting the other day with our wonderful HR director, and I pointed out that I had these mosquito bites. You know what she told me to do? Suck it up! Big deal. It's just a couple mosquito bites. It's not that big of a deal. I should have led with, I could have West Nile virus. Maybe she's downplaying it because she doesn't want to pay workman's comp. Do I get workers' comp if I get West Nile virus? Because I'm going to say it was because when I went out in Woodinville on the ropes course as part of this internal sort of relationship building practice, I'm going to say that's where I got the mosquito bites.
But you can't prove it.
I will prove it. KTTH is responsible for me having the West Nile virus.
No, people should wear insect repellent.
Okay.
And
that's it.
Go and enjoy their summer.
I can't enjoy my summer. You just told me if I get bitten by a mosquito to assume the absolute worst. Nigel Turner. Oh, what do I love more than anything in the world?
Yourself.
What after that?
Man on the Street audio.
And this one is no difference. He used to commute via bicycle along the Puyallup River. But this news may change that, he tells Q13.
It's bad. Especially my age. I'm a senior, but that's bad. Yeah, I'll get on the bus. I would get on the bus. I would have to. I don't want to get sick.
King 5 says the health department will set up and monitor 5 sampling sites around Pierce County to see if any animals have contracted the virus. Because mosquitoes, birds, and other mammals have tested positive for the West Nile virus in 6 Washington counties this year. But Pierce is the first county west of the Cascades where the virus has been determined. Congratulations, guys. There have not been any human cases of West Nile virus in Washington State this year. But, of course, I will be the first person to get it. And, by the way, when the bird flu was going around, I got that. That was the worst flu I've ever had. I felt like
true?
I was... It's 100% true. It was a big to-do. Fox News has compiled some tips on how to avoid mosquitoes.
One thing you can do is plant rosemary and basil, since mosquitoes apparently hate the smell these two herbs produce.
Do humans hate the smell of that? Now, I happen to love basil and rosemary, so I'm good. But if you don't like either of those, you're kind of in a bad place.
You can also hang up a birdhouse. Since mosquitoes are an easy feast for many birds, having them nearby should help.
We're gonna now sacrifice our birds? Is that what he's telling us to do?
Hey, isn't it better than...
Yeah, but, like, is that not cruel?
You were just suggesting a little bit ago that I should be the one who gets it.
Yeah, but you're not an adorable animal.
Oh, birds are...
Well, because it's in pigeons, if you want to eat the pigeons. But the pigeons don't go in the bird cages. Right? I mean, there's a different kind of bird that goes in. The little tiny birds and little baby birds. Just kind of hanging out. All of a sudden, hey, little baby bird. Here's some food. Go into this nice little home. I created you a nice little mansion. And then the second the little baby bird goes in there... And the mother is all like, no, come back. And says, no, this Darren and Jason, they wouldn't harm us. Look what they did in the back of the KTTH building. They gave us this nice little birdcage. And then it goes in. And then all of a sudden, a swarm of mosquitoes eats the thing to death. It protects us, I guess. But the little baby's dead. And then the mother bird is all upset. And by the way, the mother bird doesn't enact any revenge against the mosquitoes. It's going to come after you and me. So if the mosquito doesn't kill us, the bird will because it's angry.
Who's going to fill in for you when you get West Nile?
Brian Suits.
Cool.
About Brian coming.
Yeah, I like him.
Oh, shut up. You like him. Ever since Brian came in. Oh, Brian, he's such a good host to fill in for you. Like, he's better than me.
I can't wait till he goes.
Oh, so you like working with him more than you like working with me. Speaking of someone who's going to be dead, let's talk about your career during the break. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We're live in the Online Training Academy studio. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z. To 1-800-465-8770. Send a better tax resolution hotline. Text RANTZ to 1-800-465-8770 if you're sick of giving up our parks to homeless people and drug dealers, because that's what's happening in a lot of our parks all across Washington State. Recently happened at Artesian Commons Park in Tacoma. It's a non-traditional park. It's not necessarily green space. There's a lot of asphalt there. But it's an open space that we're supposed to enjoy because we're paying for it. And yet we're not able to do it in Olympia because, oh, lo and behold, it's been taken over by drug dealers and homeless folks. The Parks Department head, the chief, he's going to join us at the bottom of the hour to explain away why we're not doing enough to take this park back. But if you'd like to help take the park back and shine a spotlight on the fact that we're giving all of our taxpayer-subsidized parks to people who are homeless and to people who are drug dealers, in many cases violent, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. A Democratic state senator from Florida, her name is Daphne Campbell. She is being mocked incessantly for calling 911, claiming she's being threatened because there was no threat whatsoever. A Miami Herald reporter was actually just asking her some questions after a campaign event, and she went up to this state senator asking a question directly after the campaign event. She said, no, you'll have to email us your questions. But then later on, she saw another reporter go up to Daphne Campbell asking questions. So then this reporter, her name is Sarah Blasky, the Miami Herald, she went up and tried to ask a question again. So then that's when Daphne Campbell calls 911. Now, she should be rightfully mocked for this because it's crazy and a waste of resources. But I'm going to talk about something different. I'm going to talk about the 911 operator who is insanely rude. I've never heard a 911 operator so rude before. What if this was a real emergency?
Miami-Dade County Police and Fire, what is the address of your emergency?
Can you please send a police for me, please, right now?
Hello, can you please calm down? I need for you to calm down, please.
Okay, so at first, now the tone is rude. But one could argue you have to try to take control of the situation so she can speak clearly to you to explain what's going on. Now, she has an accent that makes her kind of difficult to understand when you throw in the fact that it's on a cell phone. And so right now we give her a pass for that.
I'm not even getting the address. Your background is very loud. Is this a house or an apartment?
It's a restaurant.
Ma'am, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Okay. So fair enough. You don't really need to be snarky back. You really don't. Say, I understand. I'm just trying to figure out where you're at. You can have a little bit of compassion in your voice.
What is the phone number that you're calling from? Tell me exactly what happened. Tell me what happened.
Okay, listen. I am at Dorsey's right now. I have a lady who threatened me a lot, and I'm not going to argue with no one, and she's threatening me right now.
Is she
so
there
I
now?
Need, I
is
need,
she
I
there
need
right
protection.
Now is my question.
Okay. It's kind of rude. You're not doing a radio talk show host with a state senator who's not directly answering your question. There's clearly, I mean, she sounds distraught. She's stupidly distraught. She shouldn't be distraught at all, but she sounds distraught, and that's her emotion in the moment. Am I crazy?
No, I think the senator was kind of rude. Or what is she?
She's a state senator,
state
but
senator?
She believes that her life is being threatened.
But I think she's kind of rude when she says, it's a restaurant.
Yeah, well, when you say, are you in a house or an apartment, and you're in neither, she was a little like, no, it's a restaurant. Why are you limiting my options? Why isn't the options a little bit more than just simply a house or an apartment? What if she was at a playground? What if she was at Disneyland? What if she was at, in this case, a restaurant?
Then she shouldn't assume that the 911 operator knows that.
Is she there right now?
Look how rude that is.
Yes, she is. She is.
Is she black, white, or Latin?
She's white.
What about Asian?
I did notice that, too.
It's Miami. Maybe that plays a role. Maybe they don't have a large population of Asian people in this particular spot.
What color shirt is she wearing?
She wear a dress.
Okay, so we'll play a lot more of this later. But even there, what color shirt is she wearing? Why are we assume? Why is it such a specific? How about just saying, what is she wearing? Because you're just making this woman angry. And needs to correct you. Am I crazy?
They're both wrong.
Am I crazy, though? She sounds rude.
I hear the rudeness, but I think it's kind of warranted.
Only in retrospect do you think it's warranted.
In
the moment, if she's legitimately getting threatened, would you take issue with how she's making this call?
I don't think so.
Right? Okay, so that's my point, is the 911 operator has no idea that this is a silly call at this
point.
And so she's wrong. Stop siding with the 911 operator. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Things have gotten so bad at Artesian Commons Park in Olympia, the city has had to close it down. There's been ongoing violence. There's even been threats against park employees. We talked about this story just a few days ago. But at the same time, we are closing it. We don't want to give up this park, and we certainly shouldn't have to hand it over to people who are causing some problems. So what exactly is being done to take our park back? Joining me on the line is Paul Simmons. He's the director of the Olympia Parks Arts and Recreation Department. Paul, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me.
What kind of violence and threats are we talking about?
You know, I have to be honest, this park has actually been very challenged since we first opened it 4 years ago. Some of the criticism that the park has taken is that it's not a great ideal location for a park. It's covered in asphalt. There's two, it's surrounded by solid walls. There's not a lot, there's almost no green space. And so it was one of those areas where actually the challenges dated before it was identified as a park. And some of the earlier hope was that the park, by introducing positive use and bringing folks down, whether it be through food trucks or programs and events or different activities, by introducing that positive use, that would discourage some of the negative behaviors. And unfortunately, that vision never fully materialized, and the challenges continued for several years. There were some positive aspects to the park, and it was definitely meeting some needs for some people, but it was also creating a lot of issues for folks. We experienced a lot of challenges. We had 1,392 calls for police service over a four-year period. We had 154 verbal altercations or disorderly disturbances. We had 70 physical assaults and crimes against people, and we trespassed 51 people for either illegal or violent and destructive behavior. And so the park has been full of challenges throughout its time being open. In the face of those, as I said, we did have some positive aspects and were meeting some needs for some people. But at the end of the day, what happened in recent weeks is we had some very specific direct threats targeted at staff that led us to believe that it was not safe for us to have our staff there. And if it's not safe for us to have our staff, it's not safe for people to be in there either, which is what led to us closing it.
So is this a problem that's being driven by a combination of homeless people as well as drug dealers? Because that's kind of the impression I'm getting based on some of the other reports that I'm seeing.
I would say it's more the latter. I would say that this had very little to do with the homeless population down there and more to do with the criminal activity. We have had a history of drug dealing and drug usage both in and around the park. And while the police department has made arrests over the years, that cycle kind of somehow continues to start back up. So
isn't there a sort of a connection between the two? Meaning, if you've got a park, even if it's not a traditional park with a lot of green space, if it's a spot where there are a lot of homeless people, generally that means a lot of non-homeless people are not going to go to that park. You kind of seed that space for that purpose. And then you have drug dealers who might take advantage of that because, you know, drug dealers in general are not going to go in spaces where there's a whole bunch of foot traffic from just, you know, families who are trying to enjoy a space.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of that. I would say, though, one thing I would caution, though, is I don't think that all the homeless people down there are drug users or
I'm not making that claim at all. I'm just saying that I'm separating the two. I think there are, there's going to be crossover inevitably in every situation, but I think you've got a homeless population that then attracts the drug dealers because the park then is less often used by non-homeless people. So there's a little bit less of this fear that they're going to be doing drugs or dealing drugs when, you know, a mom and her daughter or son are walking by.
Sure. And I think that's a fair correlation of what was going on down there.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Paul Simmons, the director of Olympia Parks, Arts, and Recreation Department about Artesian Commons Park. It's been overrun by some bad elements that have made it so bad that they have closed the park temporarily. I don't love an idea, and I'm hoping you could better explain it to me. I don't love this idea where we say we're going to add some positive elements because we think it's going to attract enough people that will then detract the bad elements. This idea of bringing in food trucks and ping pong tables and whatnot. I don't explain how that works when the park is already branded as a place that you don't want to hang out at. Like I get if you started it by saying, okay, we got this brand new park and we're going to have all these positive things down there. Then people are like, oh, let's go check out this new park with the cool, you know, food trucks and ping pong tables. But if it's too far gone, you're just going to have a whole bunch of ping pong tables surrounded by some of the bad elements that are not going away.
Yeah, I think that's a I think what I would say is that vision was the initial vision.
Okay.
So 4 years ago, there was a program called Project for Public Spaces, and I believe that's a nationwide program. And there was a workshop that happened here, and that's where that vision was established, was out of that model, where I think they have had success in some other areas. Mm-hmm. And for a variety of reasons, you know, it never materialized here. So I wouldn't say that's necessarily the vision moving forward at this point. At this point, because it's not safe, we're taking a timeout, we're taking a step back, and in that effort, we're also going to start to evaluate all of our long-term options and short-term options. And I don't think anything is on or off the table. At least I haven't been directed to say, oh, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. We're going to evaluate all of our options, which include everything from closing it permanently to trying to meet the needs and by allocating the resources in other ways. To, you know, perhaps we can serve the population that we were serving down there better by investing in other places. We had a partnership with the Bridge Music Project, which targets at-risk youth, and it helps them. It puts them into an 8-week music program where they learn self-esteem, they learn team building, they learn how to cope with life's problems through music. And at the end of the 8 weeks, they go and do. They record a song in a studio and then they do a live performance somewhere. And so over the 4 years, one of the really positive things that's happened at the park is we've had this concert series hosted by the Bridge Music Project that features a lot of these youth, the at-risk youth. And it's been a really successful program. And so I'm hoping that you know, even though we're closing down the park, we can continue to build on partnerships at that and still help our folks that are our youth that are at risk. You know, it's worked with incarcerated youth, with youth in the foster program. And so I'm hoping that even though we're at this spot where we've unfortunate spot where we've had to close the park down, there were some partnerships and some programs that were happening there that will hopefully live on and continue to meet needs here in the community.
And I love that, because what's frustrating here is it feels sometimes, this is always case by case, city by city, it feels sometimes we cede over this land to people who are kind of taking advantage of our goodwill. And I would push back a little bit at you when you say, look, this is a spot that we think is incredibly dangerous for our staff members, and yet the 24-hour bathroom is still open, which seems to indicate to me that we're now super serving the homeless population that's at that park, which is part of the problem as to why people aren't necessarily using it as it's intended. Why would the park's bathroom still be open if it's dangerous enough that you don't want people to be there?
I think we feel as though since closing down the park, it's immediately safer.
Because no one's there.
And we've also closed down the sidewalk adjacent to the bathroom, but there's still access to the bathroom. We haven't had any new stats run, but our last check on that bathroom, it was being used over 100 times a day. And so the bathroom, while we may have been having problems and issues there, it was meeting a need downtown. And so that's why we made the choice to keep that open.
Meeting the needs of who?
Meeting the needs of the people that use the bathroom 100 times a day.
No, but I mean, is this really a bathroom that's frequented by the homeless people who are in the camp, or are these people who are just, you know, passerbys who need to use the restroom in the middle of the day?
You know, actually, I don't know if I have enough information to answer that question fully accurately.
Issue here. And you know, I do it out of, you know, I have compassion for people who are homeless. We should be helping people who are homeless. And I think part of that is making sure they're not camping out at a park. Instead, we should be getting them the resources they need to get into a bed. And there are beds available. I wonder, by keeping the bathroom open, I don't necessarily think it's serving the needs of the community that has the right to use that park. And I'll let you have the last word on that.
Sure. Yeah. No. That's definitely a fair perspective. I would say this bathroom is part of a larger effort by our city to address a growing issue of needing for people to use the bathroom, quite frankly, downtown. And if they don't have a place to go, the other option of where it ends up is less ideal. And so as long as it's meeting its intended purpose and we can operate that aspect safely, we'll likely continue to do it unless I get out of direction. But your perspective is a fair perspective.
There you go. Again, I've been talking with Paul Simmons. He is the director of Olympia Parks Arts and Recreation. He's been joining me this morning to talk about the issues that are repeated over at Artesian Commons Park. It sounds like obviously they're very much aware of the problems, and they've got a plan in place to try to sort of re-strategize how they might better use this space. Thank you, Paul, so much for joining me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show, 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Don't forget, text the keyword RANTZ, RANTZ, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Let's actually take back our park spaces from the homeless and from drug dealers. Because you and I, we're putting the money into it. If we don't truly care about our parks, okay, fine. If we're going to give them away to the homeless, okay, fine. This is not necessarily my battle. I don't go to parks all that often. But I'm paying for them. So if we're going to just give them to the homeless, if we're just going to give them to drug dealers, how about this? Give me back some of my tax dollars. Because I'm subsidizing this. Give back some of the money to me, and I will put it into things I will enjoy more than walking by a park and seeing a whole bunch of homeless people or drug deals going down. So if you want to take back our parks, you want to send a message, text the keyword RANTZ, RANTZ, to the number 1-800-465-8770. A group of Seattle leaders launched a new campaign to get rid of the state's ban on affirmative action because I guess racism has gotten worse. Seems like a weird timing to do this, because about two decades ago, back in 1998, voters approved an initiative that ended affirmative action. Why? Because they thought, hey, giving preferential treatment based on your race or your gender is wrong. It's immoral. And that's how it should be. It should be deemed wrong and immoral. You should not get extra points because you're white. You should not get extra points because you're black or Latino or I don't understand that. But some people don't buy that. In fact, former state representative Jesse Weinberry, he's backing I-1000, which would bring back affirmative action.
Our goal is to enable the people to speak once again 20 years later, now with greater knowledge of what affirmative action is and that it's not preferential treatment, mm-hmm. and also to see the effects of the old law.
That's him talking with King Five. But, I mean, we've seen effects since 20 years ago, like black unemployment being at record lows. That seems kind of important. We see more and more communities of color being represented in colleges. That seems important, and you don't necessarily need to have an affirmative action plan. But Weinberry is an alumnus of the University of Washington, and he says he benefited from recruitment as a Queen Anne High School student back in the 1970s.
That was when they could recruit to achieve the racial and gender diversity that the University of Washington did not have. They still don't have it. But now, for the last 20 years, their hands have been tied.
Their hands have been tied. And he makes an interesting point here, but not the one he thinks he's making.
Here in Washington State, corporate America has actually moved further ahead of state government.
On racial diversity, right? Okay. Why is it that it's working without affirmative action in the private sector, but not working in the government jobs that you're talking about here? Why? I'm just kind of curious what the answer is, because we're told corporations are the evil ones, not the government. And yet corporations are doing better than government-based jobs. Why is that? Are they racist in the government? I don't understand where he's coming from, and I would love to have him on the show. So we're going to reach out to him. Because this is a person who, you know, he wants to take this position of, you know, he's just doing what's best for folks, right? He's on the right side. He's fighting against racism. That's the implication here. Although I remembered his last name, Jesse Weinberry. Do you remember that name? A few years ago, back, I believe, 2016, he was running for a congressional seat here. He was running against Adam Smith. Adam Smith obviously won. And at the time of this campaign, he was arrested, Jesse Weinberry. He was arrested for driving a van that was reported stolen. And luckily, when Seattle police officers interacted with him, and I believe it was in SoDo, right behind or right near the showbox in SoDo, an African-American officer went up to him to arrest him. And Jesse Weinberry decided to call that black cop an Uncle Tom.
What are you doing? What are you?
UT.
What a UT. Okay. You can call me an Uncle Tom.
I didn't call you an Uncle Tom.
I
did not.
Okay, UT doesn't mean Uncle Tom, right?
No.
Okay, I'm stupid. I'll be stupid.
No, I think you're a little sensitive.
Oh, he thinks he's a little sensitive. The guy who's now saying we need to bring back affirmative action because he doesn't feel like it's being, if people are being treated well. Well, he went on to pretend that UT was not Uncle Tom. He was on our sister station, Kyle Radio, and Dory Monson. And he pretended UT actually stands for University of Texas.
Well, UT means a lot of things. I mean, I'm a Husky, right? A University of Washington. UW, I mean, there's no offense to that. UT, Texas Longhorns, University of Texas. I mean, there's always been that kind of a rivalry.
Come on, Jeff.
And so, you know, there's no vernacular that
you
can find.
You were calling him an Uncle Tom.
No way.
What call him? What did UT stand for?
What would he have done to be called? And what is an Uncle Tom anyway?
He doesn't know. He's pretending. And he went on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Listen to this. Because he continues. He continues to go on and on and on and on and on. And I'm, because I screwed up the audio. Oh, and on.
If not, I said a UT.
What is a UT? What does that stand for?
It stands for University of Texas.
You are a university, sir. You are behaving like a university.
You are a university of Texas. You know what you are, Darren? You are a PL. You. Plu. You're a plu.
You were calling him a Texas Longhorn.
Later, I called.
Would you call someone a Texas Longhorn? You would call them a UT?
Yeah, that implies that you're calling.
I don't call you a UW. I call you a Husky. Yeah. Right? I don't call you a
student
wazoo.
At UW.
Yeah, but that's my point. It's like, you don't just say you're a UW. You're a Husky. You're a, what was yours? Poets or something?
But the Lutes?
The Ludes. You're a Lute.
Lute.
A Lute. You're a Lute.
You're a Longhorn. That doesn't make any sense. Come
on. His name is Officer DePina. That's not an African American name. That's a Hispanic name. It wouldn't even match up if I were. I mean, what is an Uncle Tom, Dory?
He's a black guy.
No, DePina? No, he's Hispanic.
He's black.
Wow, that made it worse.
He was black. But maybe this is why. This is why you need affirmative action in Washington State, because that cop. We should have just been like, he's confused between black and Latino. Maybe this would help him, according to Jesse Weinberry, it seems. We got to get him on the show because he's a little crazy. Make sure he doesn't hear this segment, though. Make sure, because I didn't call him.
I don't think
crazy.
We're at risk of that.
Shh. We're wildly popular with that, with the crazy activist population of Seattle. We'll get him on the show. Text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. If you want to help take back our parks from the homeless, take back our parks from drug dealers. Text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770.